चतुर्नाय जन्म दुखालाय न शाश्वतम नात्मवान्ति महात्मना संसरी परमं गता. After obtaining me, the great souls who are yogis in devotion never return to this temporary world which is full of miseries because they have attained the highest perfection.
मुझे प्राप्त करने के बाद जो महान भक्त योगी हैं वो इस दुखालय संसार में लौटने में नहीं आते क्योंकि उन्होंने सबसे ऊंचे गति को प्राप्त किया है.
Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Since this material temporary world is full of the miseries of birth, old age, disease, and death, naturally he who achieves the highest perfection and attains the supreme planet Krishna Loka, Goloka Vrindavan, does not wish to return.
क्योंकि यह संसार जन्म मृत्यु जहां वहीं से भरा हुआ है. जो व्यक्ति गुरु वृंदावन कृष्ण लोक को प्राप्त करता है वो इस संसार में लौटकर नहीं आता.
द सुप्रीम प्लैनेट इज डिस्क्राइब्ड इन वैदिक लिटरेचर एज अव्यक्त एंड अक्षरा एंड परमागति. इन अदर वर्ड्स दैट प्लैनेट इज बियॉन्ड आवर मटेरियल विजन.
जो परम जो लोग हैं वो हमारे भौतिक दृष्टि से परे हैं.
इट इज इनएक्सप्लिकेबल but it is the highest goal, the destination for all Mahatmas. The Mahatmas receive transcendental messages from the realized devotees and thus gradually develop devotional service in Krishna consciousness. And become so absorbed in transcendental service that they no longer desire elevation to any of the material planets. Nor do they even want to be transferred to any spiritual planet. They only want Krishna and Krishna's association and nothing else. That is the highest perfection of life. This verse specifically mentions the personless devotees of the Supreme Lord Krishna. These devotees in Krishna consciousness achieve the highest perfection of life. In other words, they are the supreme souls. I have been ordered to speak on the subject of the future of the world. So, Krishna knows best the future of the world. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Vedaham samatithani vartamanane charjuna bhavashane chabhutani mamtu veda nakashchanaha, that I know past, present and future. I know all living beings. He is within everyone's heart. In fact, Krishna explains in Gita that the entire material existence is working under His control. So in this particular verse that we have selected for this evening from Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is explaining quite authoritatively what is the future of the world. That everyone will grow old, get diseased and die. Hare Krishna. Nothing new. Material existence has been created in this way. We made a phone, a low by Kamana Jugarevacha, Ankara Ithiyami, Bina Prakita Dashtata. There are 8 material elements: earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and the false ego. And they are all temporary. They are all constituted of the inferior material nature of the Supreme Lord. And therefore they are constantly in a state of changing. Literally there is no death. Literally material elements are always just in a state of transformation. The death is an illusion based on a misconception. This is described in the next verse of Bhagavad Gita. Aparayamitashvanyam prakritim vinimekaram jivabhuta mahabhahu yajetam dharyate jada. That besides this inferior material energy, there is the spiritual nature. And the soul, the source of life and consciousness within everyone, is of this spiritual nature. Mamayavam so jivaloke jivabhuta sanatana manashishtan indriyani prakriti stani karishati. The soul is part of Krishna. The soul is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. But due to forgetfulness of our own reality, we are, since time immemorial, identifying ourselves with this body, mind. Which is always going through various transformations. The body, at a certain time when it is no longer a suitable place for the soul to reside, the soul has to leave that particular body. That departure is called death. But you, the person that is departing, is as much alive as ever before. And the material elements that you're leaving are not dying, they're just being transformed into some other appearance. Your body may be transformed into ashes, or into earth, or dust, or it may be eaten by birds and turned into stool, but it still remains material elements. But material consciousness is actually the source of all suffering. Krishna explains material existence based on material consciousness is a place of birth, old age, disease, and death. In essence, nothing changes in this world. The same principle pervades. In the 10th century, and in the 20th century, and the coming 21st century, people will be born, grow old, diseased, and die. But in different eras, we use different terminologies. And also, the time span between birth, old age, disease, and death, we may have various different devices. However, the purpose of these devices remains the same: to eat, to sleep, to mate, and to defend. It's very simple. We're trying to enjoy. And the more we enjoy, the more we realize we're attached to the form of our enjoyment.
Because everything in this world is temporary. The more you attach to something, the more you suffer when it's taken away. And it's 100% guaranteed. Everything will be taken away. This human form of life is very rare. After evolving through 8,400,000 species, perhaps, we finally come to this human birth. In all previous births, our life's consciousness is immersed in trying to find happiness through the body and mind, through various varieties of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. But the Vedanta Sutra declares, Atato Brahma Jigyasa, that now you have attained human birth, your duty is to inquire into what is reality. What is the absolute truth underlying all the relative truths? In other words, human life is meant to realize God. And what is our relationship to God? And if we do not use our human life for this purpose, then we are of the same qualitative life nature as the lower species. Therefore, religion is meant for human beings. Yada yada idharmasya glanir bhavati bharata avyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham. Krishna descends in various incarnations, prophets, and great personalities throughout the ages to remind us you are not this body, you are the eternal soul. Your purpose in life is not to try to enjoy that which is available to the dogs and hogs. What is available to the dogs and hogs? Sense gratification. Human life is meant for tapasya. To put aside our temporary demands for a higher purpose. This is called shreyas and prayas. Prayas means that our mind is absorbed in the immediate desires of the senses and their fulfillment. This is animal life. Shreyas is human life, which means we are willing to put aside our tendencies for immediate enjoyment for a higher purpose. Many of you are students or have been students. You're working so hard going to your schools and colleges. You have to put aside so many enjoyable things to do to study these books. Prepare for exams. It's very difficult. Why? Why not just enjoy life now? Because if a person does not, he may enjoy life now, but tomorrow he will suffer. So in the human form of life, there is a final exam. It is called by the name of death. And if we do not prepare for this exam, then we will have a very miserable situation in our future. However, if we pass this exam, we achieve an eternal life of bliss and knowledge. And passing this exam is very simple in principle. But it takes a tremendous determination to prepare for it. This is described in the same chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam cha jachyante kalevaram tam tam evaikikontaya sadat bhava bhavata. What you remember at the time of death, you attain that. Antakali chamami vasmaran bhava kalevaram. If you remember me at the time of death, you attain me. Thus, Krishna's principal instruction of Bhagavad Gita is Manmana Bhavamad Bhaktao Madhya Jindam Namaskuru Mam Evaisha Shishatyam Te Pratijani Priyoshini. Always think of me in your life. How to always remember me? Become my devotee, worship me, offer your homage unto me. In this way you will come to me without fail. This is the Lord's promise, because He is our dearest friend. In this life, if we practice remembering Krishna, it becomes natural to remember Him at the time of death. And then our future is to get out of this world of birth, old age, disease, and death. That is the perfection of life. In today's society, we see how, due to forgetting this most simple, basic spiritual principle, people are creating so many complications in life. Truth is the simplest thing, and illusion is so complex. I will give an example. Srila Prabhupada Guru Maharaj quoted from the scriptures and previous acharyas. There was only one problem in this world: a lack of God consciousness. Krishna is the name of God. Prabhupada said a lack of Krishna consciousness. There is only one solution to the problems of the world: Krishna consciousness. It's quite simple. But we have forgotten this principle. So we have created a civilization where we are trying to solve so many problems through so many means. But as long as we forget the real solution, all of our solutions become a source of greater problems than the original problem. That is the law of material nature. Just look at our society today. We have the problems of so many discomforts. We want to make life easier, a higher standard of living. And we put so much energy and efforts into somehow or other creating a more comfortable and efficient lifestyle. And we create a situation that's simply miserable. Just like this is the computer age. People think that computers make life so much easier. Terrible illusion. I never used a computer in my life. I was very happy. Life was very easy. And then, due to being a member of the governing body commission, GBC, they told me you have to get a computer because you have to be in communication. 70-80 letters a day. So much pressure because everyone is expecting immediate reply. Computer did not make my life easier. It's making my life quite miserable. Terribly complicated. Although on one level, yes, communication is easier. And it's there. So it's easier on the external level, but there's no peace of mind. Sometimes I think like throwing it in the river Ganges. So yes, there are certain enough conveniences to make you attached to the misconception that it's making life easier, but there's so many pressures. People in the farms in India, they think life is so hard, plowing the fields and growing the crops. But I have heard from reliable sources descending from the higher planet of Bombay that there's great future and opulence. So people give up their beautiful ox and land to live in the city. And then working like asses in factories. Riding on crowded trains. And they're thinking, I have more money now than I had when I was living on the land. But they're miserable. This is the illusion of Maya. She puts your life in complexities and tells you that things are simpler. Can you believe her? Hare Krishna. Today's civilization is based on such an artificial premise. It's so complicated. And we don't even understand how complicated it is. Spiritual life is based on simple living and high thinking. Today is the opposite. What do you know when you are eating a chapati, what it took for you to get this chapati? Have you ever, how many chapatis do you eat every day? Hare Krishna. If you eat rice, the same principle is there. But we are so dull-headed, we do not even think of what it took for me to get this chapati. It took hundreds and thousands of people and billions of dollars for you to eat this chapati. Hare Krishna. First of all, somewhere out in the fields, there's someone growing wheat. But they're probably not using oxen anymore. They're using tractors. And you have to go to the tractor factory. And you have to understand how many tens and thousands of people are there to make this tractor. And usually not these days, a factory doesn't make all of its own components. The factory that is assembling the tractor is buying so many of its products from other factories. Then you have to add up all the employees in all the factories. Then somehow or other some wheat is made. But then what? Then you have to transport the wheat from the farm to Bombay or Pune. That means not only do you need trucks and trains, which involves so many other tens and thousands of people making the trucks and trains, but in order to run that truck and train you need petrol. And it's not that petrol is just growing and the fire. Most of the petrol is coming from Saudi Arabia or some other Gulf country. So how do we get the petrol to come here? We need huge boats. And how many tens and thousands of people it takes to build those boats? And then you have to run the boats. Big companies. And no companies have enough money on their own to build the boats or to build the tractors or to build the trucks or the trains. They all have to get loans from banks. And then there's a whole international network of banking and credit. And how many people are involved in that whole process? And just in order to get the petrol to come, there's all kinds of political negotiations and threats of war. And we have to do so many favors for these other countries just to make sure they'll send us their petrol. So the politicians are very much involved. Hare Krishna. And then somehow or other the petrol comes. And the petrol has to be transported to a particular petroleum company. It may be Hindustan Petroleum or something. So then you have to have so many employees for that company. And so many stockholders that are supporting the company. So many banks financing it. And then somehow or other, by the unified effort of all these people, in all these banks, politicians, companies, manufacturers, farmers, somehow or other, the wheat comes to your home. But you have to add water to the wheat. So you need the city water system. How many people you think are employed in the city's water supply system? Thousands and thousands. And they're all interrelated. It's probably funded by the taxes of the people. So then you have the whole tax department. And you have all the people paying their taxes. Hare Krishna. And then you get a little bit of water. But then, after you mix the chapati or the wheat with the water, you have to cook it. And most of us don't use cow dung in the cities. We use gas. That means a whole other arena of the petrol company and the boats and the trucks and the trains and the airplanes and all the various stockholders and employees of all of these companies. And then you need a stove. How many people are involved in the companies that produces your little stove? And then you have your pot. Hare Krishna. And you cook your chapati. And then you sit and eat it. And like an ignorant fool, you're thinking, oh, it's such a nice chapati. Such a simple life eating this chapati. Just the same food my forefathers have eaten for the last thousands of years. And these days, the whole system of all these companies, all the banks, all the politicians, everything that is combined to give you that one chapati, they're all very much being controlled and manipulated by the computerized industries. And there are great fears that next year, when the millennium changes to 2000, many of the major computer networkings and components within the world will become completely disoriented. And if they don't work, that means the planes don't work, the trains don't work, the water department doesn't work, the electrical department doesn't work, the means of getting the petroleum here won't work, and you will not get your chapati. Krishna's sense of humor. The whole complex materialistic problem-solving civilization is so much dependent on these computers, and Krishna's in everyone's heart. He had them program it without understanding the problem that would be coming up. This is called Punarmushtaka Bhava. A mouse becomes a lion, but then when he turns against his creator, again he becomes a mouse. So what we are speaking is not fanciful analogies, it is reality. Can anyone argue that this is what goes in, such a complex system goes into you eating your chapatis? However, simple living means you live in the land, you plant the seed, it rains, the wheat grows, you pick it, you grind it, you have a well and add some water, you get a little wood or cow dung, make a fire, make a chapati, offer it to Krishna, and take prasad. You don't need anybody. You don't need millions of people to help you make your chapati. You don't need billions of dollars of banking funds to make your chapati. This is called self-sufficiency. It is natural life. But how did we get to this whole complex system where if one thing goes wrong, everything can just crumble? The stock market, such an artificial situation. Who knows what provokes it to crash? In the great country of the United States of America, during the 1920s, there was a stock market crash. The whole nation was in utter poverty. Wealthy people were jumping from the top of buildings in anxiety. Actually, Srila Prabhupada gave a very wonderful, wonderful analogy of modern civilization. It's a simple analogy, but it contains so much truth. He said that this modern civilization is, they build big, 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 big skyscrapers and then fall from the top and die. Think about that. It can be understood in several ways. One is, some after building these big, 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 big skyscrapers, some people, their lives are so frustrated due to the complexities, they actually jump from the top and die. But in a symbolic form, we are building this big, big civilization of big, 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 big buildings, and then once we reach the top, the complexities of everything, when they don't work right, we fall from the top. If you're living in a simple little hut and you fall from the top, you just get up. You wipe the dust off your dhoti. No problem. But if you fall from a skyscraper building, then the city streeper will wipe your dust. There's a big difference. So similarly, we are such a civilization that when the complexities comes, everything crashes. And it's inevitable. Look at the world today. Japan was the second most powerful economy in the whole world. In fact, the most famous landmarks in America, many of them are owned by the Japanese. They were putting entire nations into financial disaster because they were manufacturing things so cheaply and so efficiently. And it was not because of their compassionate nature. It was because they were greedy for more wealth and power. But now, what has happened to their economy? It's in the worst condition in modern history. They are completely miserable and uncertain of their future. They're facing imminent, disastrous poverty. Worse than the villages of India. Hare Krishna. Russia's economy has fallen apart. Indonesia's economy has fallen apart. And the most expert economists in America say that there's no way America's economy can be sustained. It will also fall apart. And due to modern technology, everything is so interdependent. If you live on a farm, it doesn't matter what happens in Japan or America or Russia or Africa. It doesn't matter what happens in Delhi. You get rain, you grow your chapatis, you eat, you chant, dance, and be happy. But this modern civilization, all the economies are so interdependent on each other. We're getting all kinds of loans from the world banks. And there's so much investors cross investing. If America's economy falls, the whole world will be in a terrible economic crisis. Already it is, but it will be worse and worse. Such an artificial condition. And how did we come to this point? By trying to solve the problems of life without Krishna consciousness. We're trying to make material adjustments to solve material problems. But we don't solve any problem. Because the real problem is birth, old age, disease, and death. And whether you have billions of rupees or whether you have a chapati to eat, you still have to grow old and get diseased and die. So what problem have you solved? Are the people in the wealthy nations any happier than the people in the struggling nations? Not at all. Srila Prabhupada explained once to us, actually, he was so inspired by this example that city after city after city in America, he was giving this example. He said that the dog is running on four legs, and you are running on four wheels. What is the difference? Technical difference. But the mentality is the same. The dog is running for sense gratification and you're driving for sense gratification. The same mentality. Just different type of legs. This is not advancement of civilization. Advancement of civilization means a higher purpose in life. And the human intelligence is meant for that higher purpose in life. But when the human intelligence uses its powers to avoid the higher purpose of life and try to manipulate the material energy to try to solve the problems of life, it creates an unbelievably unsolvable, complex mess of this world. What is our advancement of civilization? We have electricity and microphones. But if we weren't so burned out by modern lifestyle, our voice would be loud enough we wouldn't even need microphones. We have so many commodities that are considered to be the necessities of life. And we're dependent on them. But in our hearts, there is a loneliness, a dissatisfaction. Because we are strangers in a foreign land. We are spiritual by nature. We are meant to be united with God. But we have forgotten. And therefore we are struggling and toiling in so many ways. But who has ever found real satisfaction without Krishna? So what is the future of the world? For a devotee, the future of the world is to go back home, back to God. For a materialistic person, it's birth, old age, disease, and death. Krishna explains, Avramadhuvanaloka punar avartano nirjuna mamubhetya punar janma dukalayam ashashvata. From the highest planet, Brahmaloka, down to the lowest planet, Patalaloka, they are all places of misery because they are all places of birth and death. But a wise person who worships me attains my abode and never takes birth again. Our beloved Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, gave a simple example which many of you have heard. A prophet came into a village. I'm sorry, he came into a kingdom. And he was giving benedictions. First he gave benediction to the prince. The benediction was, better you live. He gave a benediction to a brahmachari. Sudama, better you die. He gave a benediction to a butcher. Better you neither live nor die. He gave a benediction to a great Vaishnava. Either you live or you die. The people of the kingdom were very curious. What does this all mean? He explained. Would you all like to know? Thank you. He said, oh Prince, you have so much money. Living in big beautiful palace. You have every facility to enjoy this world. And in your enjoyment you are engaging in so many sinful activities. So you will enjoy like anything for some time in this life. But when you die, you're going to have to take a hellish birth and suffer for all your sins. Radhe Shyam Prabhu, so many austerities you're performing. No girlfriend or wife. Who could imagine living without a girlfriend or a wife? Of course, that illusion does not last very long. And also, you have no possessions. Sleeping on a floor, eating whatever the ashram gives you. Difficult life. Better you die. Because you will go back to Godhead, all your hardships will be over. Hare Krishna. But for our sake, you should go on Hare Krishna. And the next benediction was to the butcher, better you neither live nor die. Because in this life, you're surrounded by the screaming of dying animals. You're covered with their blood. Horrible, horrible condition. The stench of death all around you. And after you die, you're going to have to be slaughtered and tortured for every pain you cause to these animals. Better you neither live nor die. And the Vaishnava? Either you live or die. It really makes very little difference. Because in this life you're serving Krishna. And after you die, you'll just go back to Godhead and serve Krishna. In this life you're dancing. And you're loudly chanting the holy names. And after you die, you'll go back to Godhead. And what do you think you'll be doing when you go back to Godhead? You'll be dancing in ecstasy. And you'll be loudly chanting the holy names. Srila Prabhupada explained, in Krishna consciousness, the ends are the means. One time, a great scholar asked Srila Prabhupada, this baby is very much inspired by our chant. In fact, she's teaching us how we should chant. Srila Prabhupada said we should chant the name of God with the same intense feeling as a baby crying for its mother. You see, when that baby started crying, immediately the mother had to pay attention and pick up the baby. If the baby just went, the mother would just go on listening to the lecture and not bother. But because the baby was going, the mother understood, I have to help my baby. So similarly, if we chant the name, Krishna will say, go on chanting. But if we're going, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, we chant helplessly, then that will attract Krishna, who is our Supreme Mother and Father, to come and take care of us. So this is how we should chant the holy name. Like a baby helplessly crying for its mother. Confirmed by the baby. That means you did well. Once. Very well. Very nice. One time, a scholar asked Srila Prabhupada, what do you hope to get from all this chanting of Hare Krishna? What is the goal of your chanting Hare Krishna? Srila Prabhupada answered. The goal of our chanting Hare Krishna is to eternally chant Hare Krishna. That's all. It is the constitutional nature of the soul to glorify God with love. We have forgotten that love. In the beginning stages, Cheto Dharapana Marajanam Bhava Mahadavagi Nirvapanam, we are chanting to clean our heart and awaken that love. But when that love is awakened, then with ecstatic emotion, we will continue chanting the holy name. So the future of the world is dependent how each individual person plans out the future of his or her own life. We must understand what society really needs. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered, Bharata Bhumi Te Lahoina Manusya Janma Jara Janma Sarat Gakari Kara Parubhukar, that all persons born in India, it is their duty, according to God Himself, to take to this Krishna consciousness, Sanatana Dharma, and give this as the highest welfare to all of society. There is a great need for spiritual education. We are not against technology. We are against using it for exploitative, greedy, materialistic purposes. We are only against ignorance. Spiritual education is most required in this world. Otherwise, the more technology we create, the faster we race toward a hellish condition of life. The faster we're destroying the world around us. Look at the problems with the ecology. Since we're talking about the future of the world, due to artificial lifestyle, so much chemicals, there's so much pollution. Millions of people are dying of cancer and various diseases due to the pollution in the water, pollution in the air, pollution in the earth. So many terrible diseases. And now not only that, but this greenhouse effect that's taking place. The temperature of this planet is going up. In the United States of America, the last 7 months, every month was the historical record of highest average temperature of the month. The seasons are completely becoming unregulated due to the pollution of the ecology. In Bombay, it's still the monsoons. And meanwhile, because of all of this pollution being trapped within the atmosphere, it's creating a heating of the planet. And a great majority of the potential water in this planet is in the polar ice caps. As the planet heats up, they melt. As they melt, the oceans become bigger and bigger and bigger. Years ago, the President of the United States said this is the number one problem of the planet. But because no one has any solution, no one even talks about it. If these polar ice caps melt too much, which they already are, the oceans may consume, it is predicted, not by astrologers only, astrologers predict it, but also geologists. One third of the land of the continents of the world may be under the ocean. Hare Krishna. This is just so that we can have our refrigerator and our air conditioner. And we can spray our hair to make it beautiful. In the name of convenience, we're creating catastrophes. This is reality. And as we become very scientifically proficient, so we used to fight with clubs. But we can't kill enough people at a time with a club, so we developed guns. Bows and arrows also. But guns can be very better. But guns, you can only kill enough people that you can see. So we developed bombs. But bombs can only kill so many people in one area of a city. So we developed nuclear bombs. Hare Krishna. And we have all kinds of nuclear waste. Do you know nuclear waste never goes away? It's highly radioactive. It causes so much pollution and disease and death. They're putting this nuclear waste in various places, but they know eventually it's just going to eat through those places and contaminate the world. And we just go on ignorantly eating our chapatis. Thinking how nice and simple life is. So now India has bombs, Pakistan has bombs. In Russia and America are saying you should not have bombs. And then India and Pakistan says, well, you have bombs. Bhagavad Gita says, yad yad acharati stris. We should follow in the footsteps of great persons, and you're the great persons. This is the age of Kali. Do as I say, not as I do. Anyways, I just came from Bombay. And in the future, there may be a bomb or there may be a bay. Unless we become Krishna conscious, then it will actually be Mumbai, the place of the Lord's devotees. So wherever we may be, we should understand this order of Lord Chaitanya, that our first duty in life is to become Krishna conscious, and then give this charity of Krishna consciousness to the world. It is the greatest need. Srila Prabhupada in his own life translated and inspired the distribution of millions and millions of books of the essential Vedic literatures, because he understood that disseminating this knowledge of the truth and how to live by truth is the most important need in society. But when people read the books, in order for them to be convinced of the content, they must see that people are living by these principles. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained, Yarete Kathari Kaha Krishna Upadesha Marakoi Guru Vaitare Desh. That whether you are a grihastha living at home, or whether you are brahmachari living in ashram, whether you are businessman or engineer or housewife or teacher or student, utilize your occupational duties, your social responsibilities in such way to please Krishna, to serve Krishna. To give this knowledge of true Sanatana Dharma to others, it is the greatest need in human society. Today our colleges, universities, and educational institutions are just creating proficient expert people, but because they have exploitative, greedy natures, they're using their tendencies to just perpetuate the problems of this world. But I'm very, very much encouraged and pleased to see the ISKCON Youth Forum here in Pune. Young, intelligent students who are the future leaders of society, studying very diligently, developing skills, graduating with honors, but as they're cultivating their technical skills, they are also cultivating compassion, love, and pursuance of service in their life. When they come in the forefront of society, they will be doing the greatest service. There'll be examples for the world to follow. But it is unfortunate that throughout the world, the universities, colleges are producing technically very, very efficient animals. We should develop the finer sentiments of human existence, which is faith in God, devotion to God, and a deep compassionate spirit to serve all of God's children. Then our education will have the maximum value for the benefit of human society. So I want to personally place my head at the feet of all of you students who are sincerely
cultivating a real future to help the world. Whatever our particular occupation may be, its perfection is when we please Krishna. And what pleases Krishna most? To be compassionate, to help others to live in the path of truth. And what is that path of truth? To purify our hearts, to live by the teachings of Gita, to love God, and to express that love of God in everything we do and everything we speak. And how to awaken that love of God within our practical life? It is simple, not complicated. Whoever you may be, associate with sincere devotees. That is called sadhu sangam. Hear the glories of Krishna every day. Live a pure life. No illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, meat eating. And practice the yuga dharma, which cleans the heart and awakens our original pure consciousness, which is the congregational chanting of Krishna's holy name. It is a joyful process. Everyone likes to dance. Everyone likes to sing. Sometimes we may think, I don't like to dance and sing. But if you associate with devotees, you will like to dance and sing. When I first met devotees, I was a yogi. I was living in caves of Himalayas. I was into silent meditation, fasting. And when I saw devotees dancing and chanting, I was thinking, I will never do this. How is this dancing yoga? Yoga means Padmasan. Yoga means back erect. Yoga means being still and not moving, fixing your mind on Brahman. That is yoga. These people are laughing and smiling and jumping up and down dancing. I like their philosophy very much. It answers all questions, gives the highest understandings of truth. But I will never dance. So I didn't dance. But one day, after about it was about a year, actually. Everyone was dancing, and I would never dance. But during Mangal Aarti, I would just look at the deities like this. And one day I saw the deities going up and down like this. I was thinking, what is this? Radha Vrindavan Chandra are dancing? Then I looked down and my feet were going like this. I never stopped dancing after that day. So Srila Prabhupada said, if you chant Hare Krishna sincerely, naturally joy awakens in your heart and you dance. So this chanting, dancing and taking nice Krishna prasadam is natural for everyone. It is a joyful process and it can change the future of the world. In our life, and combined, we want to help as many others as possible so that we can go back home, back to Godhead, and not suffer again
another birth and death in this world.
Prahlad Maharaj said, let me go on taking birth in this world until every fool and rascal can go back to Godhead. So when we surrender to Krishna, we will either go back to Godhead directly, or we will go back to Godhead within our own hearts and utilize our life to send as many people back home, back to Godhead as possible, where there is real happiness. So at this very moment, we are all at a juncture in our life where we have, as human beings, the free will to choose our own destiny and choose how we wish to help the destiny of the world. So please chant Hare Krishna and be happy. And help Srila Prabhupada to spread this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra to bring about happiness throughout the world. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. At this time, we would like to invite everyone to chant with us. Uyam pavitra mita muktamam. The best education is Krishna consciousness. We are so happy to see thousands of people coming together in this wonderful facility to welcome within your hearts that supreme education of Krishna consciousness. I would like to very sincerely offer my gratitude to all of you for coming this evening. It is a great offering of your hearts to dedicate your precious time to encouraging us in our mission by so attentively and receptively hearing this great message that Srila Prabhupada brought to the world. It is the message of Krishna, which has been passed down through disciplic succession throughout the ages. Please read these books. Associate with these devotees. Come to more and more of these programs. Make your life perfect. You don't have to change your life, you have to change your heart. And naturally your life will flourish. As I am chanting the holy names, everyone with folded palms, welcome Krishna's name into your heart. Please. Was being taken, she realized she was helpless. She expressed that helplessness by raising her arms high into the air and crying out the name of Krishna. And because of her genuine sentiment, Krishna heard her prayer and saved her. We are all in that situation. Therefore, we raise our arms very high in a spirit of helpless surrender as we chant the holy name. And with your feet, you move as Radhe Shyam Prabhu will teach you at this point. He will be our dance instructor. A very simple dance, but it attracts the heart of Krishna.
Like this, like this,
you are expert. Everyone, please.